Have you been listening to the podcast and getting value from the show? If so, I've got a small favor to ask, because over the next few months, we're going to be making some changes to better serve you. Now, I could keep creating episodes based on what I think would be most helpful, but I would much rather get this right. So instead of guessing, I want to understand where you are right now and the real challenges you, your organization, and your team are facing. That's why I've put together a very short 90-second survey. It'll help me better understand you and how I can serve you at a much higher level. And as a thank you, the first 30 people who complete it will receive a free signed copy of one of our books. To take part, just go to the show notes and click the link titled Leadership Survey. Or you can go directly to letsgrowleaders.com/podsurvey. PODSURVEY. It'll take less than 2 minutes. I really appreciate your input. It will genuinely help shape the future of the show.
67% of employees said that their manager operates around the notion of this is the way we've always done it. So it's tricky to be quick and clever in a situation like that, if that's how your team's feeling. Hey, it's David, and you're listening to Leadership Without Losing Your Soul. Your source for practical leadership inspiration, tools, and strategies you can use to achieve transformational results without sacrificing your humanity or your mind in the process. Hey, welcome to the show. I am looking forward to some of the guests we have coming up in several upcoming episodes. We've got a great slate and some guests I'm very excited for. And I wanted to continue delivering a few of these practical tools and tips from here at Let's Grow Leaders. And today we're talking about resourcefulness. And before we get into resourcefulness, just want to ask again, if you know someone who would benefit from the podcast, please do them a favor, share it. And if I could ask you to leave a rating and a review on your favorite podcast app resource, those are always helpful as well. All right, let's get to it. Resourcefulness. We're talking about resourceful, and what does it mean for a team to be resourceful? Easy definition, the ability to find quick and clever ways to overcome difficulties. And yes, who doesn't need more of that on their team? And during times of stress, ambiguity, change, often when you need your team to be the most resourceful, that's when some managers clamp down and they'll insist on old ways of doing things and end up slowing the team down. In our research on innovation and psychological safety for courageous cultures, 67% of employees said that their manager operates around the notion of this is the way we've always done it. So it's tricky to be quick and clever in a situation like that, if that's how your team's feeling. Like other human resource competencies, resourcefulness is something that you got to teach and nurture. And you can do that through some real deliberate focus and training. So I want to give you 7 ways that you can help your team be more resourceful. Number 1, build an infrastructure for resourcefulness. If you want your team to be more resourceful, be sure you're not sabotaging natural creativity and resourcefulness with your infrastructure, rules, or words. For example, if you think about a highly competitive culture where people or regions are stack ranked against one another, they're not likely to reach out and ask one another for help or to share best practices. That sort of stack ranking actually inhibits creativity and collaboration. So be sure that your team knows that their competition is not the guy in the Zoom window or the person next door. The competition is mediocrity. And similarly, if even small decisions require multiple layers of approval, your team's going to lose energy to try new things. If they think they'll get in trouble for creativity, they're not going to risk it. So as you're thinking about this first step of establishing an infrastructure for resourcefulness, a good place to start is to set clear guidelines for decisions so employees understand where they are truly empowered to try new approaches and get scrappy, and where you'd rather that they don't. All right, let's head to number 2, which is to get to know your team beyond what they bring to their day jobs. Chances are that you've got people on your team who have some fantastic skills that you didn't hire them for. One of our favorite examples of this was when Karen worked with 30 BPOs, those are outsourced contact centers, in her role leading the strategic partnership channel at Verizon. And these companies were always running on tight margins, focused on building high engagement cultures, and the internal Verizon centers always held very fancy kickoff meetings. And so the outsource centers wanted to do that too. But of course, they didn't have the same budget. So they tapped into the talent on their teams and held kickoffs in the parking lot. Service reps painted props or sewed some curtains into makeshift backdrops. Employees formed ad hoc rock bands. Others danced or made up lyrics to songs that reflected their most important priorities. And there were baggies with candy that reinforced the key messages. Managers brought in their own grills, cooked burgers. No fancy budget, but lots of fun. And guess what? The strategic messages got through just as well, if not even better, than if they'd rented a fancy room with a gigantic sound system and had t-shirt blasters. This works for other aspects of business too. Ask your team what they love to do most. Look for creative ways to use those gifts. The other day, there was a CEO we work with who was using our developmental discussion planner to have a career conversation with a senior level direct report, who I'll call Kim. Kim started sharing experiences from a role at a previous company and why they'd been so meaningful to her. Not too far into the conversation, they both realized they could call off the external search they had for a new role and give Kim the opportunity to try it. So learn what your people bring to their roles or beyond their roles. What else are they interested in? What other hidden passions or talents might they want to bring to other projects? Number 3, invest in your network. Encourage your team to invest in a network of trusted strategic relationships, both inside and outside your company. Having a diverse group of people that you can tell the truth and who will also challenge you can save a ton of time and wasted effort and help your team become more resourceful. Before starting a new initiative, ask your team to reach out to their network. Learn from them. What have they done in this area that worked? What mistakes did they make? What would they do differently? Who's doing this well? What can we learn from them that would save us some time? Number 4, ask, how can we? If you've listened to the show any length of time, you know how can we is one of my favorite leadership questions. When it comes to resourcefulness, those are three of the most powerful words you can teach your team. How can we? So I know we don't have the time we usually do to pull this off, but how can we accomplish this in half the time? We don't have the budget we had last year, but how can we ensure this customer event is just as meaningful? I know everyone's working from home, but how can we run this strategic planning meeting as well as if it were in person? Acknowledging the constraints you're under, being clear about your goal, and asking a good how can we question opens all sorts of opportunities and solutions. One time I was leading a team that brought together 4,500 people from across the city in just a matter of days to take advantage of a generous opportunity that we'd been given. When we were first given the opportunity, it was almost more of a confronted with the opportunity. It really seemed impossible. How to bring between 4,000 and 5,000 people together in just a few days. But a few how can we conversations later, the team figured it out. I didn't figure it out. They figured it out. How can we is an incredible, powerful, creative force. And number 5, start small. This is the power of a great pilot. Even if you're in a big organization with lots of resources, you don't have to try all the new ideas at scale. Teach your team the art of piloting ideas on a small scale first. What's the smallest viable product? You're familiar with that term from a lot of tech marketing. What's the smallest viable implementation of this solution, of this idea? What can you do to prove the idea, to learn how to improve the idea, to test it, see what enhancements you might make before you try to scale. Start small. Number 6, if you want a more resourceful team, normalize asking for help. Because it's easy to assume that everyone else is so busy, they don't have time to help, or don't want to, or don't know the right things. And yet, sometimes just a little help can go a long way. Resourceful teams create space in their meetings for people to ask for the help they need and to celebrate the help they've received. Build that momentum. Finally, number 7, iterate. If you want your team to be more resourceful, before you build something from scratch, look what's already come before. Sure, you might want the new project to be just perfect for your new client, but before you pull out a blank sheet of paper, take time to look at the best practices, the building blocks, the things that are already there. And what are the successes that happened there? What can you learn from those? What would you do differently? there are times to start with a blank sheet for, you know, building creativity. But most of the time when you're talking about getting resourceful, it's let's look at what we already have and how we can build from that. Next, I'd like to answer a question that came in regarding an episode, about 10 episodes ago.
Hey, this is Nora, and I have a question.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie, and I'm calling in from Maine. My question is about...
Hey, David. This is Julian from Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia.
This is John from Colorado Springs.
This is Johan White from Kingston. I have a question for you.
This is Cynthia from Baltimore.
Hi, David. This is Susan from New Jersey, and my question is...
Hi, David. This is Dean from Denver.
I would love your advice on this.
All right. This question comes from Otto, one of our international community members. And the question is regarding an episode on helping your team to develop a sense of urgency. The follow-up question he asked is, how do you get the urgency for your request or ask across without being too pushy? And he puts "too pushy" in quotes. And I empathize with the request here, which, you know, must mean that Otto has experienced feeling or being told that he's coming across as too pushy. So a couple thoughts here. One is, if you're having this happen for you in your leadership where you're feeling or your team is feeling that you're too pushy, first is to take a look at how you're looking at urgency. Is everything urgent? Is there true urgency versus false urgency? It's often the case if you're a highly internally urgent leader, you can be putting a lot of urgency into things that aren't, and you might be communicating that without meaning to. So first, distinguish true urgency from false urgency. Then from there, when you're having the conversations, one of the most important things you can do, if you've determined this truly is urgent and you need to help a team member understand that, is to give them the context. What's the why? Why is this important? What's the bigger picture? Help them understand the meaning for it. Then you're not being pushy. You're communicating and giving them information. And so once you've got that context and you've got a true sense of urgency, you want to adapt your ask and match your style to whatever the proper level of urgency is. So again, if it's, you know, vitally important, we'll communicate that. But if it's something that can wait or has a certain time frame for it, let's allow that to be. If everything is hair on fire, has to happen right this minute, then nothing's important. Your people will tune you out. We talked about that in the episode. So those are the starting places. From there, let's make sure, schedule the finish. If you're talking about being too pushy, again, having that scheduled finish allows the conversation to happen around feasibility and the interaction with other priorities. So as you're sharing the context, you're sharing the task, you're sharing why it's important, you're sharing when the finish line needs to happen, don't assume compliance or don't assume that it fits. Ask. Check in for feasibility. How does this interact with your other priorities? Does this seem reasonable? Is this something you can get done? And be open to a discussion of the task that you're asking for versus the trade-offs with other things that they might have on their plate. So as you're having the conversation, truly make it a conversation. It's not a, hey, I'm running in here, I'm dumping this urgent task and I'm running out. I'm asking, can this happen? Here's the context. Here's the reason why. What else do you have going on? How do you think we can make this work? And if you need to have a real discussion around trade-offs, do that. That's only fair to them. So Otto, I hope that helps. And if you have ever found yourself in the situation where you're trying to communicate urgency and it's coming across as more pushy than urgent or helpful, those are some tools that you can use to address that. Distinguish, make sure not everything is urgent. Give them the context. Have the conversation. Schedule the finish and have that conversation around tasks and trade-offs and the feasibility, and you're a lot more likely to be successful there. All right, so we've been talking about resourcefulness today, and you know, one last thought on helping your team become resourceful, and that is, if you want your team to be resourceful, have intentional conversations about it. Conversations, questions like, what's the most efficient way we can pull this off? What other resources might we be able to tap into that we haven't considered? Who can we learn from before we begin this process? intentionally work those kinds of questions in, you'll be helping your team become more resourceful, and you'll be the leader you want your boss to be. Until next time.
The UPS Store is making packing and shipping Easter gifts quicker than ever this year with UPS Air. How quick? Quicker than a walk around the park. Quicker than eating all the Easter candies. Quicker than finding a golden egg that you know is stuffed with cash. When you ship UPS Air at the UPS Store, your items arrive on time or your money back, guaranteed at no extra cost, exclusively at the UPS Store U.S. retail locations. Send Easter joy on time at the UPS Store. Visit theupsstore.com/airguarantee for full details. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.